Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. Today, President Trump's response to his lawyer's guilty plea. Hurricane Lane heading for Hawaii. And what's your reputation score on Facebook? Those stories and many more in less than 10 minutes. Plus, hang out after today's news for a bonus interview. We are talking about the record number of women running for office this year. I'm Erica Mandy. Today is Thursday, August 23rd. You ready? Let's do this. President Trump has now responded to what some have called his terrible Tuesday, the day this week when his former campaign chairman Paul Manafort was found guilty and his former lawyer Michael Cohen pleaded guilty, both to various financial crimes. Well, now the AP reports President Trump is calling his former lawyer Michael Cohen a liar. The Cohen said what he thought he had to get a deal with prosecutors. Remember, Cohen admitted to violating campaign finance laws when he paid two women to keep quiet about alleged affairs with Trump. He says President Trump directed him to do it. But President Trump told Fox News he did not know about the payments until later. And he says the money was not campaign money, so he feels no laws were broken. The White House also points out Trump is not charged with anything right now. As for Paul Manafort, President Trump tweeted he's a brave man for refusing to, quote, break, as he says Cohen did under pressure. He also told Fox he may pardon Manafort's tax and bank fraud crimes. By the way, Cohen's lawyer implied Cohen is not done sharing with investigators. In fact, New York State just subpoenaed him for an investigation into the Trump Foundation. So this is not over. Another attempted cyber attack on the Democratic National Committee. The DNC told CNN it called the FBI because it thinks sophisticated hackers tried to access its voter database. Remember, U.S. intelligence officials believe Russia did hack the DNC to influence the 2016 election. This time, though, DNC officials say they don't think hackers actually got any sensitive data, but that it's more proof the midterm elections could be under threat and we need to stay on high alert. The U.S. and China just put a new round of tariffs on each other, and it comes just as the two countries start up new trade negotiations. Bloomberg reports officials from the U.S. and China are in Washington for day two of trade talks today, but it's not clear they'll actually get anywhere. For now, starting today, an extra tax on $16 billion worth of Chinese imports will affect goods like plastics and electric scooters. How is China retaliating? With the same amount of tariffs on U.S. goods like coal and cars that are going into China. One report predicts we'll feel the biggest economic impact from all this in 2019. The S&P 500's bull market turned 3,453 days old yesterday, going down in the record books as the longest bull market ever, aka the longest period of uninterrupted gains. Even some dips in the S&P 500 did not drop 20% or more, which would have meant a new bear market. This bull market started back in March of 2009 after the Great Recession, because from there, it's pretty much just gone up. Reuters reports tech companies like Apple and Microsoft helped the most with this recovery. But as bull markets get older, investors can start to get nervous. Experts say it's not if, but when this bull market will come to an end. Today, Hurricane Lane is expected to close in on Hawaii and bring dangerous surf, flash flooding, mudslides, and strong winds. AccuWeather reports it could possibly bring record damage. And of course, people in Hawaii can't just get out of town. They only have so many places to go on an island. So they've stocked up on supplies in case of long power outages. At one point earlier this week, Hurricane Lane was a Category 5 and became only the second storm to be that strong and that close to the main Hawaiian islands. Officials are expecting the hurricane to hang out through Saturday. They're trying to plan for the worst right now and hope for the best. Expect updates on this one today and tomorrow. Another update now about the sexual assault accusations against the Italian actress and director Asia Argento. Actor Jimmy Bennett spoke to media about the accusations for the first time. He told the New York Times that it's true that Argento sexually abused him when he was 17, but he was afraid and ashamed to speak up at first. There's also now a picture that surfaced that appears to show the two of them in bed together. Remember, the Times got a hold of documents showing Argento paid Bennett to keep quiet. Argento then said this week the assault never happened, but that Bennett harassed her and her boyfriend at the time, the late Anthony Bourdain, so they paid him to stop. Also of note, Ohio State University suspended its head football coach for the first three games of the college football season. The university was investigating how Coach Urban Meyer handled domestic violence accusations against a former assistant coach. All right, some other things people may be talking about today. The festivities are still happening around the world as millions of Muslims celebrate Eid al-Adha. The Islamic holiday celebrates feast and sacrifice. It also marks the end of the yearly Muslim pilgrimage to visit Mecca, known as the Hajj. Eid al-Adha started earlier this week and lasts through Saturday. Facebook is reportedly deciding how trustworthy you are, but it won't tell you your own score. The LA Times reports Facebook's reputation score is on a scale from 0 to 1 for each user, and apparently Facebook has been developing this over the last year. It's not a public score. Facebook says it's part of a process to help it ID the people who want to flag true things as fake news or game the system in some way because they don't agree with something someone said. Even teenagers are pretty worried about their relationship with their cell phones. New Pew Research found just more than half of teens say, yep, they spend too much time on their phones. Around the same percentage say they've done something to try and cut back on their phone use. And yes, another Pew survey found two-thirds of parents are also worried about their kids' screen time. All of that said, tech companies are catching on that this may be a problem. Many are now adding new features to help you track your time on your phone, including Apple. CNET reports Apple's iOS 12 update will be telling you how much time you spend on your phone and on certain apps like Facebook. It's the number one sitcom in the world, but CBS just announced it's coming to an end next year. Sorry, fans, but The Big Bang Theory will end in May of 2019 after 12 seasons. In fact, BuzzFeed says it's now the longest-running multi-camera series in TV history. The show producers thanked fans and promised a, quote, epic creative close. All right, that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know every Thursday after the news. So this week, we are talking about the record number of women running for elected office this year. Because remember, midterm elections are right around the corner in November. My guest today has even done research about why women have not run in the past. And it's just in time for Women's Equality Day as well, which is this Sunday. So you'll hear from Gloria Felt. She's a keynote speaker, New York Times bestselling author, and the co-founder and president of the nonprofit Take the Lead. I was actually part of a program she created called 50 Women Can Change the World in Media and Entertainment. Vanity Fair named her one of America's top 200 women leaders, legends, and trailblazers, and she's been one of Glamour's Women of the Year. So here is my conversation with Gloria Felt. Hi, Gloria. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm delighted, Erica.
So I want to kick things off with talking about what is Women's Equality Day? Why does it exist? And what action can we expect to see this Sunday?
The purpose of the day is to celebrate and acknowledge the fact that women have the right to vote. It was about 72 years from the time of the first Women's Rights Convention in 1848 until 1920, when women's right to vote was finally codified into the United States Constitution. So Women's Equality Day is essentially for the purpose of reminding us of how far we've come and to celebrate that, and also to remind us of how far we have yet to go to reach full equality.
we as women can not only vote now, but we can run for office. And this year, we've seen a record number of women running for federal office. You've actually done research about why women weren't running for office in the first place. Can you explain what you found in the past? And then what's changed now and how far have we come?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked me that, because what set me on the path of devoting the rest of my life to getting women to leadership parity is in 2008, Elle Magazine asked me to write an article about women running for office, and I started studying why women had not past that 20% mark in elected office. So I discovered that it wasn't just women couldn't win, because actually by that time, and it's even more so today, 10 years later, if women run, they are as likely to win statistically. It's hard for anybody to run and win, but women are as likely to win statistically as a man. But the real story was that meant that women were not running. Women were only half as likely as men ever to think about running. Well, something has certainly shifted, because this year we see a record number of women running, still not enough to achieve that 50-50 mark, but certainly enough to get us to, I would say, 25%. If we keep going, we can ultimately achieve parity in elected office. Why is that a good thing? Well, the World Bank has looked at parliaments around the world, and they have concluded that those with more women in elected office actually make better decisions, have more peace in their countries, have a more stable economy. And so it's important for women to be equal leaders. It's not just the right thing to do. It's actually a good thing for everybody.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you found back in 2008 when you looked into why women weren't running, and how is that changing over the last decade?
Mm-hmm. What I found was that, and this was really hard for me to digest because I had been an activist for women for several decades already. And what I found was that women had an ambivalent relationship with power. Nothing is hardwired. It is culturally determined. But when women exhibit a desire for elected office or other kinds of powerful positions, we are more likely to be treated harshly than men are. It's just assumed that men are going to want those high-level positions and that they should go for it. But women are breaking their gender stereotypes when they do. That creates a situation where we have implicit bias in the culture, and that implicit bias does things to our heads. It makes us more risk averse. It makes us more fearful. It makes us less likely to want to put our hands up and say, I want to run for office, or I want to be the CEO, because why do we want to get beaten down? Why, you know, the reasons are logical. But I found that it was really important to help women understand power better. I help women shift our thinking from that oppressive idea of power over to a more creative, innovative, not a finite pie idea of power as the power to do good things, the power to help people, the power to make life better for our families. That's what helps women break through. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing so many more women running for office now, is that more and more women are understanding that and are willing to take the risk.
So whenever there's Women's Equality Day or a day like that, we see a lot of companies jumping into the conversation, kind of having PR tactics. Do you think a lot of it is just talk, or are some of these companies actually taking more steps than ever? What do you think when you see that?
It's a little bit of both, Erica. Now, a lot of it is, I don't want to say for show, but a lot of it is less than substantive. It's window dressing. And actually, to some extent, there's been a marketization, I guess you could say, of women's rights and feminism right now. You can see almost every product you know is feminism right now as part of their advertising campaign. You see, you know, it's kind of sexy right now, which is a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing. But what I believe is lacking is the kind of really serious, substantive, intensive work that has to be done to change how we are thinking ourselves as women. And that requires more than a day of celebration. That requires training, it requires mentorship, it requires getting a sponsor. And we need, I believe, as much as anything, to change the narrative in our own heads from a constant focus on the problems to a focus on the solutions. This is how we can make the change. This is how we can help our company analyze its pay structure so that men and women are being paid equally for the same jobs. This is how we can help women succeed as they move up the leadership pipeline. That's the kind of thing that we need. And you don't do that in one day or one hour.
And remember, you can read more about today's guest in today's show notes. That's also where you'll find links to all of today's news stories we talked about in this episode. From the homepage of thenewsworthy.com, just click episodes in the upper right-hand corner and then find today's date. Thank you so much again for listening. The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 in the morning every weekday, so I'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.